Hello, and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's a real pleasure to welcome Brandon Freed to our podcast. Brandon serves as Executive Director of the Washington, D.C.-based Air Forwarders Association, or also known as the AFA. The AFA is a diverse coalition comprised of more than 275 companies with more than 500,000 employees focused on moving cargo efficiently and quickly throughout the supply chain. Brandon is one of the country's leading experts on air freight and cargo security. With more than 40 years of experience, he represents the industry and the association by serving on several federal advisory committees, including the TSA Aviation Security Advisory Committee and the U.S. Department of Commerce Committee on Supply Chain Competitiveness. He also has served three terms on the CBP Commercial Operations Advisory Committee. While still a forwarder, Brandon joined the AFA and was elected chairperson in 2001. He also served two consecutive terms as chair and remained an active director of the board of directors. And in 2005, he sold his forwarding company and was appointed executive director of the association. He also represents forwarder interests as chair of the Advisory Board of Cargo Network Services, an IATA company. And in Washington, Brandon serves as a public face of the Air Forwarders Association, testifying in Congress and also working with the Department of Homeland Security. Hey, Brandon, welcome to our podcast.
Jeff, thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Real pleasure to get you on here. So, Brandon, I know that I just provided a very brief overview of the AFA in your introduction, but perhaps you can shed some more light for our listeners just in terms of your clear mission, some examples of your different type of membership, things like that.
Well, so, you know, my 10-second elevator speech is that we are the regulatory and legislative advocacy group for freight forwarders and affiliated cargo stakeholders here in Washington. And we have an extremely diverse membership. We've got the larger companies, you know, your Kuehne+Nagels, your Schenkers, your DSVs, and then we have the small Fred's Freights of the world that might just have one or two trucks and have different interests, but we're all united for the common goal, and that's to advance the freight forwarding industry and make sure that we are well represented here in Washington.
All right, terrific. Given your visibility and the types of members that you have, there's a lot of different things we can touch upon. So I was thinking maybe we could work sort of most recent first and work our way back in a sense. And it'd be crazy if we didn't really just jump out and talk a bit about the recent events related to the Suez Canal with the Ever Given vessel running aground and then subsequently being dislodged 6 days later. Obviously, it created a lot of pain points, a lot of turmoil, but it also could have been much worse had the situation lingered on longer. I was just wondering if you could offer up sort of your take on that event and what it kind of means at this point for supply chain stakeholders.
Yeah. So, you know, Jeff, I got to tell you that the Suez incident, you're right. We're glad that it wasn't longer in duration, but it still did damage to the supply chain. You got to remember that not only the containers on board the Ever Given, but also all the containers that were on the waiting vessels, waiting passage to get around the Ever Given, those containers are expected in other ports into the supply chain. And we're going to see repercussions of this. Now these ships are behind schedule. Here in the United States, we're already seeing extreme port congestion. We're going to see probably some supply chain shortages going forward and we're going to feel the repercussions for a while. But I will say that, this incident points out that the supply chain is vulnerable.
Sure.
And that you need to have a plan B. If you're a shipper, you need to make sure that you have, if there's some type of a delay as we experienced, and it doesn't have to be this, we've had volcanoes in air freight that grounded flights. We've got pandemic situations going on right now, obviously, that's grounding flights and ship cancellations. You know, you have the plan B, and you need to be working with a transportation professional, someone who's knowledgeable and experienced in making sure that you have another plan if something like this happens. Now, will it insulate you from this? Probably not. But the reality is that as long as you have another way to move cargo, usually you're more prepared. I have found that shippers who think about their supply chain challenges and mitigate their risks are much better prepared for a situation like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine that we're going to see things along the risk management front gain even further prominence in the future, especially given the events of the last year. When we look back at the pandemic, we look back at harsh winter weather, the ongoing, as you mentioned, port congestion situations. There's a lot to chew on there.
Yeah, and also I'll add something else. I just saw the news this morning that, you know, the owner of the vessel just declared general average, which means all those shippers are going to have to split the cost of the damages.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, who knows what that's going to look like. And I'm no insurance expert, but, you know, that obviously is going to have some repercussions too. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Brandon, so we talked a few weeks back shortly after you had penned a letter to the White House about a few different key components going on as it relates to infrastructure, getting transportation workers vaccinated, regulation aspects, things like that. And, you know, just given it was a wide range of things, and we had a great talk. And but I was wondering, specifically talking about industry workers, and in your instance, the air cargo workers getting vaccinated, you know, just simply put, I guess, what could be in store for the air cargo sector as more people continue to receive the vaccine?
Well, you know, our hats are off to the Biden administration for really stepping up and making sure that there is more planned vaccine supply out there. And I could see that the vaccination rate is, in fact, accelerating. But, you know, our position at the Air Forwarders Association is that the freight forwarders and related transportation workers need to be deemed as essential. Now, are they as essential maybe as emergency medical personnel? Maybe not, but we're past that. They've already been vaccinated. But certainly, you know, we can't have those workers operating at a diminished capacity as our the nation and, of course, the world enters the recovery phase of this pandemic.
Right.
So you know, we need people out there at the ports. You know, labor at the ports has been a significant issue. We've seen that in the Port of Los Angeles and other ports of entry. We're also seeing it at the airports where, you know, workers have either been sick or they're afraid to come to work or whatever the situation might be. So we have to keep commerce moving. The way to do that is make sure these workers are protected by vaccinations, and they need to have a priority status in order to receive them.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And just sticking with the pandemic for another minute or two here, in terms of just basic logistics lessons learned from the pandemic, how would you sort of characterize those? I mean, there's a lot of different directions I'm sure we could go in, and you know, hopefully we're, you know, with baseball season here, I'll use a baseball analogy. Hopefully we're nearing the at least the seventh or eighth inning at this point.
Yeah. So I from your mouth to God's ears, I agree with that. So all right. So what have we learned? You know, if you stand back and look at this, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, you should have a plan B for everything. If you're a freight forwarder, you need to always be thinking in your mind, supposing that plan doesn't work, what are we going to do? If you're a shipper, you need to be thinking about the same thing. So I think that's the one thing. The other thing that I think we learned within our industry, and I'm sure this is not specific to the freight forwarding industry, but you need to diversify in your markets. If you have a market niche, it's great. And small forwarders generally specialize. You know, my past experience is I focus just on trade show shipping. And I, you know, that was decimated during, completely closed down during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And right. So, you know, it goes to show you that you need to be participating in several verticals, because we saw at AFA, we saw our larger members that were participating in medical and various manufacturing verticals that, as an example, that manufactured personal protection equipment, rubber gloves, you know, the gowns, the masks, that type of thing, fared far better than those that were just focused on these industries that were shut down. So plan B, you need to diversify. And obviously, and here's the other thing, Jeff, and this is really important. You got to invest in technology.
Yeah.
And we've seen that here. Thank goodness. Can you imagine had this happened, let's say 15 years ago, when internet connectivity isn't what it is today? We didn't really have like the Zoom kind of tools available.
Yeah.
It would have been pretty challenging.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad we don't have to worry about that part.
Yeah. And, I mean, by the way, I just wanted to say, I still think it's better for us to be working in person face to face. I mean, I'm a true believer in that. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for looking at a person's facial expressions in 3D, but you know, the Zoom call has sufficed, and we've been able to carry on.
Absolutely. You know, as far as things in D.C., obviously there was a lot of big news came out in regards to the White House's proposed infrastructure plan to the tune of, I believe, something like $2 trillion.
2.2, I think.
Yeah. Very ambitious. A lot going on within that legislation, and clearly we'll have a long way to go to get signed into law, but it's a start. And without talking specific, we can circle back to the proposed legislation in a second, but just on a more general note, what sort of, Brandon, in your opinion, how would you view or classify the biggest infrastructure related needs as they pertain to supply chain, freight transportation, and logistics, just from a needs perspective?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, obviously and selfishly, you know, we focus on transportation related needs. But it doesn't end there. Obviously our nation's highways are in need of repair. I don't know about you, but we got potholes down here, the size of moon craters.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously that's always the case. The highway infrastructure not only needs to be, maintained, but it needs to be expanded, and as do bridges. So that's a big concern, because a nation's competitiveness depends on how quick you can get goods to ports and airports, and how quickly, because, you know, we're in a global economy and we have global buyers now. And so we can't afford to have inefficient roads and goods that don't make it to market quickly. The other issue is port. You know, obviously the port congestion has mm-hmm. been a big issue, as I described. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the entrance and egress of, you know, the ports and truck waiting lines and that type of thing. So we have to make sure that these ports not only can handle the big ships, but also that they have the appropriate access pathways in and out. Let's look at airports. Now, you know, most of our nation's airports are at least 40 years old, mm-hmm. especially these gateway airports, and cargo has been the redheaded stepchild. And as a result, there's not been a lot of investment in cargo related infrastructure at these airports. We've got truck lines backing out onto highways right now, because there's just not enough room, not enough roadways. I mean, and I don't want to single out airports, but I will.
Yeah.
So, like, as an example, you know, you go up to JFK, you know, they have their challenges up there, and I know that their folks are doing the best they can, but the reality is that it's an antiquated facility, and it's, you know, needs to catch up with the times. At LAX, you know, we They have an ambitious passenger facility plan, but cargo has taken a back burner position. They haven't done anything there. You've got issues over in Seattle. You have issues in Boston. And of course, now a lot of these places have geographic challenges because they're landlocked and, you know, they can't expand. Yeah. But the reality is that they need some money thrown at them for that. And then I also want to say that our cyber infrastructure, and leaving the transportation infrastructure for a minute, our cyber infrastructure, I think, is important as well. There's got to be a robust broadband, redundant broadband system in place. And, you know, part of this infrastructure package needs to make significant investments in technology. And we have to do it, Jeff, not only because of our business, but our nation's competitiveness. And that's important.
No, I absolutely. And, you know, you just talked about the cyber side of it. And I that got me thinking a bit about supply chain security. Obviously, and of course, cybersecurity, too, which has been an issue intermittently. It has impacted some really large companies in our states, especially in recent years. I mean, there's no easy answer for it. I mean, there's certainly a lot of issues. But how do you guys sort of approach or view that?
Okay, so I'll tell you that, you know, the last presidential administration allowed these bad guys to come in and steal their lunch money. And you know, we saw some high-profile cyber attacks. One in particular that comes to mind was the attack on Forward Air.
Yeah.
And you know, we've told our members at the Air Forwarders Association, as a matter of fact, we have a technology committee that focuses on this. And we've told our members, it's not if, it's when. You're going to get attacked. You got to be ready. And you know, our nation is simply not doing enough to fight it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to be victimized by this unless we take a heavy-handed position with these international thugs that are doing this to our country. And that starts with investment, and it starts right from the top. The White House has got to make some decisive, bold moves and make sure that the nations that support or allow these thugs to operate are, in fact, sanctioned.
It's important. No question about it. Well, you know, I also was curious on a different note, Brandon, in just in the limited time we have left here today, you know, it's now we're into early April, April 2nd. And, you know, it's never really too early to start thinking about peak season, right? I mean, last year's peak season was quite unusual and extraordinary on a number of levels, obviously due to the heightened amount of e-commerce purchasing activity. That really hasn't seemed to abate in any meaningful way, regardless of individuals' specific situations, consumers rather. And I'm just wondering, you know, it's never really too early to look ahead to peak. It's such a core focus for so many people in different parts of the supply chain. In looking ahead to the 2020 peak season, what do you think could be in store? We're not making any, obviously, bold predictions several months in advance. How should people be thinking about it or approaching 2021 peak, that is?
Well, you know, my crystal ball is in the shop, but I'll take a stab at that because, you know, one thing I've learned that my past predictions of this, you know, 2020 were not always on target.
But right, right.
I would tell you that now that we are vaccinating the American public, you know, don't count the American consumer out. And so what you just said is really right. I mean, the American consumer likes ordering goods online. And so we're going to be busy on the transportation side. You're already seeing now, if you look at the TSA checkpoint numbers, you know, they're screening over 1 million passengers a day right now.
Yeah.
And the airlines are watching those numbers. We've had 50% of the U.S. airline fleet, the global fleet, parked. And so they're watching those. And we've already seen promises. As an example, American Airlines said they're going to start putting a good portion of their fleet back into the air in the second quarter. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to have the consumers going to start traveling. They're going to get out there. They're going to be spending those $1,400 stimulus checks that just came into their bank accounts, right? And they're going to be buying. They're going to be buying goods. There's a lot of pent up demand. Factory output is going to jump. We're already seeing the transportation infrastructure, the grid already taxed. It's going to get much more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you throw in Suez and port congestion and, you know, the backups at the airports, and it could be a real humdinger. Those are the challenges. The good thing is that we're going to enter into what I believe is going to be one of the most prosperous eras that our country has ever gone through. And we're, you know, this is the United States. It's a bad idea to bet against us. And we're going to come out roaring from this.
Yeah. No.
And I'm glad our industry is there to support it.
No, for sure. For sure. That's a great point. All right, Brandon. Well, look, I think we're at the end. It looks like we're at the end of our time for today's podcast. So on behalf of Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I'd like to offer up a big thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And for all you people out there listening, please go ahead and subscribe to our podcast just simply at Supply Chain 24/7, wherever you get your podcast. And thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.